Memches on a base. So if you remember, oh, here he is, the man of the moment.
Good
Morning, Ramlacham. How are you?
morning, Rabbi. Baruch Hashem, doing wonderful. How's the
Different
Rav?
shir when you're with us. It's great. Baruch Hashem. It's always good to see
I'm
you.
here every day.
I know, but I mean, when your screen is not on.
Sometimes the morning has a lot of what do they call it?
Busyness.
No, there's a there's a isn't there a, my, I had a Rebbe once who always say, like, they start the shiur with the other talk, the
Ah.
something like demnusa something.
We'll see the
Yeah, that's what it is.
okay. We're just trying to get everybody into a good mood, lighten up over here. We'll start the Gemara. Okay. So we are on the Gemara.
Other joke in a few weeks till the other joke. A
The
few
other
weeks till the
one.
Rosh Chodesh other jokes.
Okay, we're gonna warm up over here. Okay, we'll try and get ready, Mr. Hashem. So we are on Daf Mem Ches on a base, and we saw the sugi yesterday of Haruge Malchus and Machloikus between the Tanakhama and Rabbanon. What happens to somebody who's killed by the Melech as a result of having rebelled against the Melech? What happens to his Nechosim? According to the Tanakhama, his Nechosim go to the Melech. Mashenkin in a Kuntra of Yehuda, no, it doesn't. It goes to the Yorshim, just like in all other cases. So the first case we discussed was the story of Novos, who was killed out by Achov. So that was a whole discussion. Achov definitely was Yerush his property, and that was the question. Was he Yerush it because he was the Melech? Was he Yerush it because he was the king, etc., etc.? Then we began the second sugya, which is Yoyov. Now, Rabbi Yosef, I'm curious, very interesting, very important. Do you want to read out for us? Is that there's a very important historical backdrop to this whole story, a two-pronged story, which the Gemara is going to deal with Barichas. So, do you want to read out one or two of the footnotes there? Who exactly was Yoav ben Tzeruya? What did he do, and why was he killed by Shlomo HaMelech? You want to read the note there?
Yeah, after King David passed the throne to Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo set out to kill Yoav, the former commander of David's army. The motivation for this was twofold. First, Yoav had years earlier killed two righteous men, Abner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yeser. And David had asked Shlomo to kill Yoav in retribution for this. Secondly, Yoav had supported Adonijah in his attempt to usurp the throne, and thus he was deemed a moreid b'malchus, a traitor to the crown. The verse cited here record when that when Yoav heard of the plan to kill him, he fled to the Mizbeach in Jerusalem and grabbed hold of the horns. There, a messenger of King Shlomo by the name of Benaihu approached him and commanded him to leave the altar. Yoav, however, refused and told the messenger, "No, I will die here."
Right.
In deducing its proof, the Gemara focuses on Yoav's motivation for fleeing to the Mizbeach. Evidently, the Gemara reasons Yoav was attempting to escape death at the hands of the king by placing himself instead under the jurisdiction of the Sanhedrin that sat near the Mizbeach. By putting himself in this position, Yoav realized that the Sanhedrin would likely sentence him to death for the murders of Abner and Amasa. Nevertheless, he apparently saw this as preferable to being killed by the king, for in if he was king, if he was killed by the king would appropriate his possessions, whereas if he was executed by the Sanhedrin, his own heirs would receive them. It's close Rashi.
Right, so therefore, this is going to be a proof according to therefore to the Tanakhama. Again, according to the Tanakhama says that when somebody is killed as a Moirid b'malchus, then his positions, his acquisitions go to the Melech, as opposed to if he's killed by the Bezdin, then it will go to the Yorashim. The second opinion said no, it always goes to the Yorushim. And therefore, that's what we're trying to discover. Why would Yoav run to the Mizbeach? We're going to see that if somebody runs to the Mizbeach, then essentially he escapes Misa, the hands of the Melech. At least that's what he thought. So he knew he was going to be killed. He knew he was going to be killed, at least by the Beis Din. So what did he gain if either way he's going to be killed, by the Beis Din or by the Melech? What on earth is the difference? So according to the opinion that says, yes, there is a difference. Because if he gets killed by the Beis Din, at least his assets will go to his Yorushim. Well, then we can understand his motivation for wanting to be killed by the Beis Din as opposed to by the Melech. Whereas if you hold that he's always going to see his assets go to his Yorushim, then it's very unclear what was his motivation. What did he gain by grabbing hold of the Mizbeach? He knew he was going to be killed anyway. And whether he's killed by the king or by the Beis Din, either way, the Nechosim are going to go to the Yorushim. So what does he gain? That's going to be the question of the Gemara. Have a look at the Gemara. We're on the second line. Bishloim leman da Omar, according to the opinion that says Nichsehen lemelech, which is the Tanakama. Well, then it makes very good sense. Hainu diksev. So then we understand what it means when it says Vayonos Yoav el Oyel Hashem. And Yoav fled to the Oyel Hashem, the tent of HaKadosh Baruch, which means the Beis HaMikdash. Vayechazek, and he grabbed hold Bekaranois HaMizbeach, on the horns, the corners of the Mizbeach. V'ksiv, and what did he then announce? He said, Vayomer loy etze, I'm not going to exit from over here. Kipoy, almost, I'm going to die right over here. Now, what does he gain? What's the difference if he's going to die here or there? He didn't say that I'm not going to die. He said, I'm going to die over here, which, as Rabbi Yosef explained to us, means he's going to be killed by Beis Din. Beis Din are right there in the Beis HaMikdash. The Melech was not. So the messenger of the king, Benayahu, was sent, was dispatched by the Shlomo HaMelech to bring Yoav to him so that he'd be able to kill him. And what did Yoav say? No, I'd rather die here. Why? Why was that preferential? So according to the first opinion, it's very good. He preferred to die there, meaning at the hands of Beis Din, and that way his Nechosim would go to the Yorushim. He did not want to be killed by the king, and then not only that, to see that his Nechosim would not be inherited by his own Yorushim. So it's very good, it makes sense. Elo leman domar nichsehen leYorushim. But according to the opinion that says that either way his Nechosim go to the Yorushim, whether he's killed by the Melech or by the Beis Din, either way the Nechosim go to the Yorushim. So if that's the case, my nafka le mino. So what's the nafka mina? What's the difference? What does he gain? What on earth is his motivation to say, no, I don't want to be killed by the Melech. I'd rather be killed over here. What's the difference? Either way, exactly the same is going to happen. What is that? That his Nechosim are going to go to his Yorushim. So what's the difference? Have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Kipoy Amos, B'Yoyov Ksiv. This is a pasuk written with regard to Yoyov, and he said, Loi Eheye Nidoin Lemalchus. I do not want to be judged by the Malchus. Why? Kedei Shelo Yiu Nichsei Nechosai Lemelech. So that my Nechosim should not go to the Melech. That was his motivation. Well, that makes very good sense. If indeed you hold that his Nechosim was destined to go to the Melech. But if his Nechosim are going to go to the Yorushim, whether or not he's killed by the Melech or the Beis Din makes no difference. So what did he gain by arguing with Benyahu? Again, Benyahu was the Shliach of Shlomo HaMelech. He says, I've been dispatched to bring you to the king. No, I want to stay here. Well, what do you gain? You're going to be killed anyway. Answers the Gemara, two-word answer, L'chaye Sha'ah. It was just a delaying tactic. Chaye Sha'ah, you're right. It wasn't Chaye Oilom. He knew he wasn't going to survive either way. As it were, the writing's on the wall, finished, it's all over. But if he gets involved in an argument with Binyahu and Shlomo, so what did he know? He knew that if he says no, he refuses to Binyahu, Binyahu's now going to go back to Shlomo HaMelech, and it's going to be a few more seconds and a few more minutes, so it was a delaying tactic. Says Rashi, L'chaye Sha'ah, Dichui ba'alma. He was just trying to push things off, trying to procrastinate. Ad she yoshivu hadvarim leshloimoi, until his words would be returned to Shlomo HaMelech veyovayu, and then he would have to come. So he just wanted to stall for time. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, "I'm sorry, you have no proof against my opinion. It could well be that yes, the Nechosim are going to go to the Yorashim either way. That's not the motivation for arguing with Ben Yayahu. Rather, his motivation was to gain a bit of Chaye Shah." Okay, the Gemara continues the story. Rabbi Yosef, we might need your help over here. It brings up
Rabbi, can I just ask a question? Is the Gemara really arguing what the motivation is, or are they just arguing what the result would have been because of his actions?
No, we're trying to get into the mind of Yehov. My nafgalei, the Gemara says, Mine. What is the difference to him? What did he gain?
Yeah, aren't we trying to figure out where the Yerusha goes?
That's
so
the
what does the motivation matter?
No, again, the Pasuk doesn't talk about the Nechosim. We're trying to work out what gain would he possibly have by arguing with Ben Yahu. What does he gain? The only gain we can think about, even though it's not spoken about, but that's the only thing that surely he could be referring to, is the Nechosim. What other gain would he have to argue with Ben Yahu if he knew that either way he's going to die? He said so himself, Kipoy Amos. So therefore, the only net gain can possibly be, the only ramification we can possibly think of is with regard to the Nechosim. Answers the Gemara, you're wrong. There's another gain, and that is stalling for time. So the reason why he argued...
So if there's two gains, let's just focus on the first one. And in this
no,
case, where
one
would the Nechosim go?
No, because
and
then
that can maybe be a proof.
It's not a proof. The first one is not conclusive anymore. Again, we're going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds the Nechosim goes to the Yorashim either way. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, unless there is some motivation to argue with Ben Yahu, then Rabbi Yehuda is in big trouble. Why did Yoav argue with Ben Yahu? For what purpose? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there were no two ramifications. There was only one ramification. And that is for delaying. The first man, Domer, says, no, it wasn't just a delaying tactic. It was much more significant than that. He was trying to gain that his Nechosim should go to his Yorashim as opposed to the Melech. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I disagree. I think it was for a different motivation. Nothing to do with the Nechosim. Either way, the Nechosim are going to the Yorashim. The reason why he argued Ben Yahu was just to stall for time. So that's the Machloikas. So it turns out, therefore, that this story is inconclusive. You cannot prove from over here what would have happened to the Nechosim, because we don't know why Ben Yahu, why Yoav argued with Ben Yahu. Did he argue with him to save the Nechosim? Did he argue with him to save time? Make sense, Reb Nachum? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when they say to save time, so if
Nachum,
he's going to go...
Nachum, what's bothering you?
Just because there's two thoughts, I just don't understand why we can't put one to the side. Because at the end of the day, the story happened regardless of
Well, we
motivation.
Don't know the interpretation of the story. We know the facts. We don't know the reasoning. That's what we're trying to work
but through
out.
Through the facts, I can derive what the halakha.
We can't derive
be.
Anything. We can't derive anything because we don't know the interpretation. That's subject to a machlekas. There's nothing you can derive from this story. All you know is the facts. The facts are that Yoav argued with Ben Yahu and said he's quite happy to die there. That is the end of the facts. What does that
so
prove?
If he dies there, what happens to the Nechosim?
That's the Machlokes, the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda. We're trying to work out, do we have a proof to either opinion? We know we have a Machlokes. Machlokes was long before Yoav. We have a Machlokes in the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. What happens to the Nechosim? The question is, does this story prove one of their opinions to be correct?
Okay, I get it. I understand.
The answer is no, it's totally inconclusive. Because the only thing I know from the story is the facts. What's the interpretation of the facts? I have no idea. So one opinion will tell you, I think his motivation was for the Nechosim. The other one says, no, nothing to do with the Nechosim. The Nechosim would have gone to the Yerushim anyway. Really? So why did he argue with Ben Yoh? I've got a different reason. Delaying for time.
Okay, so then we're looking to Yoav to be the deciding motivation. What Yoav was going to do, he's going to be the deciding factor.
Again, Yoav said that he's going to die there in the Beis HaMikdash. Those are the facts. We're
Right.
trying to work out why did he say that?
Right, I understand. So they were looking to Yoav to be the deciding factor in this machlokas.
We're trying to interpret Yoav's statement, quite right.
So the fact that Yoav is on the run for being a murderer, we're still, and clearly he's a, I mean, Shlomo's saying he's a Rasha, we're trying to kill him. We're still looking at him to decide a halacha?
Not to decide. He's not deciding anything. The story decides. He's not deciding. He's not paskening a shayla over here. We're trying to get into the head of Yoav. Not that Yoav is paskening halacha. Yoav clearly had something to gain by arguing with Binyahu. What was that gain? He may well have known the halacha, not paskening any halachas. Who says he's a tzaddik at all? He's a Rosh HaGomor. He's not paskening anything, but he knew the halacha. Why can't we assume he knew the halacha? So according to the Tanakhama, he jolly well knew the halacha that he stands to lose his nechassim. Ah, so that makes perfect sense that this Yoav HaRosha now wants to die in the Beis HaMikdash. For what purpose? To gain the nechassim. Says Rabbi Yehuda, nothing to do with that. Yoav HaRosha argued with Binyahu for a different reason, to stall for time. Okay, so therefore this story is inconclusive. But we're not turning to Yoav to pasken a shayla chas v'shalom. All we know is a story. We're trying to interpret what is pshat in this story. Yes.
How come they don't bring up the fact that, well, now if Beis Din's going to kill him, forget stall for time, it's a whole new case. Beis Din has to bring witnesses. They have to bring Edim. They have to prove. Because Beis Din can't just go ahead and say, well, we already know you're guilty. We're going to kill you, Beis Din. If Beis Din's going to kill the guy, and Rashi even says, show faith. They're going to judge. He doesn't want to be judged by the king. He wants to be judged by Beis Din. So it's not only a stall for time. He wants his whole case to be reviewed. And there's a chance that he will be found innocent. Lack of proof, lack of Edim. He wasn't warned. A million things can happen. So really, that's really the bigger thing here, not stall for time.
That is the stall for time.
It's not a stall for time. It's a whole, I want Beis Din to review. Before I'm put to death, perhaps Beis Din's going to find me innocent or not, no, certainly not worthy of
He admitted that he's not. He said, almost. He said, I am going to die. He didn't say, I'm going to try and save myself. He knew he was
going to. Yeah, but I know. But if Beis Din is going to kill somebody, they're going to have to try him first, right?
Very nice, but he knew he was guilty. He knew that he would vadai be killed. He admitted it. He said, kipoi omos. He didn't say, I'd rather be judged by Beis Din and then maybe it'll be inconclusive and I'll get off the hook. He knew he's not going to get off the hook because even if he gets saved by Beis Din.
So therefore, I would say like this. So now watch this. Oh, therefore, he wasn't even concerned that he was going to be judged. He knew he was going to die. And if I'm going to die, I want my Yerushim to get the money.
That's the money.
It's a proof. No, that's what I'm saying. It's a proof.
Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda.
If it was like the
reason why he's arguing with Ben Yoho is in order for the Nechassim not to go to the Melech. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a different reason. The Nechassim are not going to the Melech. Anyway, the only thing he gains is stalling for time. He knows he's going to be killed. He said so himself. He runs it a stall a day? We should never know. Didn't Dovla Melech say, Loi omus kiachia, a person wants to live for an extra minute.
Sounds more logical to me that, whatever, I don't want to waste time. Go ahead.
So that's the opinion of the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the reason why he was arguing was l'chaye shor. He wanted to live an extra minute, an extra 5 minutes, an extra day, an extra week. I don't know how long he would have lived. Okay, so the story continues now. Vayoshov ben Yoel. So ben Yoel now goes back to Shlomo HaMelech to report that indeed Yoav is not cooperating, and he refuses to leave the Mizbeach. Vayoshav ben Yoho es HaMelech Dovor Leimor. So he reports back to the Melech, and he says, Koi Diber Yoav V'koi Onani. Sounds like a double Loshen. So said Yoav, and so he answered me. Now, what's that?
Hanani.
Sorry?
We've got Hanani here.
Yeah, how do they
Onani.
Yeah, how do they translate that? This is the way he answered.
Did I answer him?
And then I answer him. So he's describing apparently a whole back and forth. Koi diber Yoav, V'koy ononi. You can only say ononi if there was a conversation back and forth. We didn't see in the previous pasuk what Ben Yohu responded. All we saw was that Yoav says, I'm not coming, I'm staying here. What did Ben Yohu respond? We were never told. But apparently there was a response, because when he reports this back to Shlomo HaMelech, he says, this is what Yoav said, and this is what I responded. So apparently there's another part of the conversation that was not described in the psukim. So what actually happened? Says the Gemara, Omalei Zil, Eimalei, Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate this?
You cannot go and tell Shlomo HaMelech. You cannot do both things to me.
This is what Yoav said, correct?
Yeah. Either if you kill me, you must accept for yourself the curses that your father uttered against me.
Which we'll see the Gemara discusses in a second, right? Carry on.
And if you don't wish to accept your father's curses, then you must leave me alone, so that I will remain with the curses that your father placed upon me.
So, in other words, David HaMelech, for reasons we're not going to get involved now, did not himself put Yoav to death. Rather, he uttered a very severe curse. We're going to see it's multiple curses. On top of that now, Shlomo HaMelech is threatening to kill him. So, the message that he responded to Shlomo HaMelech, he says, listen, you can't do two things to me. Either you kill me, but then the curse is going to go to you, or you leave me and the curse is going to go to me. But I'm not taking death and a curse. Have a look at the way the Gemara says this. Omalei, so he said to him, Zil Eimalei. Go and tell him, meaning go and tell Shlomo HaMelech. Tarati, two things, loy tavid b'hai gavra. This, you can't do two things to this person. Which person? Meaning me, myself. You can't do two things to me. E kotlis lei, if you're going to kill him, meaning kill me, then kabul, then you have to be mekabul, latuse, the curse, the latye avucha, that your father cursed me, you're going to have to take the curse. Ve'iloi. And if not, shavke deleku beltuse delatye avuch. And if not, then you'll just, if you don't want the curse, then leave me to be smitten with the curse that your father cursed. So, as if to say, kaviyochel, giving Shlomo HaMelech the ultimatum. Do you want to kill me or do you want to curse me? But if you want to kill me, then you've got to take the curse. Says Rashi. Have a look at Rashi. Koy omar, koy diber yoyev koy anoni, mashma dovar v'aniya harbet. Mashma, it's a whole conversation. V'kra, and yet in the pasuk, it doesn't say that. Quote unquote, ki poi omus, quote unquote. All it says is hu diksiv. That's what it says, v'sulai. So was there some added piece of the conversation that we're not privy to? Says the Gemara, yes, there was. Elohoche komalei. This is what he meant to him, and he meant much more than just saying, no, I'm dying here. What he meant was, tarati loy tavid le, etc., etc., etc. Now, Shlomo HaMelech accepted that.
How does Yoav have the koyach to even say that? Like, maybe the curses would just die with him.
100%. 100%. We already established he was a Rasha.
Is it established that Yoav had children by then?
I don't know.
Because maybe what he's saying is, if you kill me, I'll have no descendants, and therefore you can't do both. If you want me to curse my descendants, you have to let me live to have descendants. And if you're going to kill me, I'll have no descendants. And if that's the case, then he's not even thinking about his Yerushim, because he has no descendants.
Again, Yoav is not talking about his Yerushim. It's talking about, where will this curse
go? No, I understand, Rebbe, but I'm...
For some reason, has the audacity to say that the curse of David HaMelech is actually going to befall Shlomo HaMelech.
No, but of course, what I'm just trying to say is,
because there is a special koyach of the klala of a chacham. When a chacham gives a klala, then that has to be fulfilled by hook or by crook. And in fact, the Gemara in the very next line says it was, and it was fulfilled with Shlomo. Have a look at the next line. Omar Rav Yehuda, sorry. Vayoyim Eloi HaMelech, so the king responded, Asei Kasher Diber, do exactly as you said, you will be killed. Upoga boy v'kovrato. So he attacked him, he killed him, and he buried him. So you wanted to die? Bavakasha. Indeed, he did. Now, what happens to the curse? Says the Gemara, very frightening thing. Omer of Yudomarav Kol, Klala is Shekilel David Es Yoyov. All the curses the David HaMelech cursed Yoyov with, Niskaimu Bezaroi Shel David, they came back to haunt him. They were all fulfilled with the own children of David HaMelech. The Gemara goes through every single one. It says in the Pasuk, Al Yichras mi Beis Yoyov, Zov, Umatsoira, Umachzik Bepelach, V'noifel Becherev, V'chasar Lechem, quote unquote. The original curse was, Al Yikoris, they should never be cut off, meaning there should always be an existence. In the house of Yoyov, the following tragedies. Firstly, a Zov, a Metzoira, or Machzik Mepelach, we're going to see, means somebody who's very weak, has to walk holding a stick. V'noifel Becherev, those who fall in the sword. V'chasar Lechem, those who are lacking bread. Those are all the curses that should never be missing from Yoav's house. And now the Gemara says, well, actually, they all befell David HaMelech himself. How do you know? Says the Gemara, let's have a look, one by one. Number one, Zov. Where do we see that the Zarei Shel David, someone became a Zov? Diksev HaMelech, that capital Rechavam. Diksev HaMelech Rechavam, his amitz lalos, beberkova, lonus, Yerushalayim. He tried to go and travel in his chariot to Yerushalayim, v'ksev kol HaMelech HaVashe Yerichav Olov, HaZov Yitmon. All became Tomei because he himself was Tomei. So you see, it became fulfilled with the children of David HaMelech. Next one, Metzaira, that was another descendant, Me'uziyahu. Dixiv, Ubechez Kosei, Gova Liboy, Ad Lahashchiz, Vayimel, Bashem Eloikov, Vayovoy, Elhechal Hashem, Lahaktir, Al Mizbeach, Aktoires, Dixiv, Vahatzoras, Zorcho, Bemetzchoi. And the tzoras was, as it were, gleaming from the head of Uziyahu, an einikul of David HaMelech. Machzik Bepelach, who was walking around in a cane, that was Me'aso. What happened to Aso? Diksev Rak Le'ezik Knosei Cholo Es Raglov. He had some illness of the feet. Which illness was that? V'omar of Yud Omarav, She'ochzoi Hudgara. Hudgara, very strange sounding Lashon. Rashi says that is the name of this particular illness. Have a look at this, a few Rashis. Niskaimu Bezare Shel David. Why were they all Niskaim Bezare Shel David? Mepneisha Kiblon Shlomo Olav. Because Shlomo Melech, as it were, acquiesced and said, fine, let the curse befall me. Lalois Bemerkova Vegabezov also says, Ksivnami Merkav, Asmachta Legzere Shava, to tell you that he was a Zov. Machzik bepelach, oichiz makel, he was holding a cane, lishoein olav, in order to lean on machmas choyli araglayim, because of his sickness in his feet. Pudgara, cane shem hachoyli. That is apparently the name of the illness, af bilashoinenu, even in our language. So this is a very, apparently, debilitating disease that requires somebody to walk with a cane, and it's called pudgara.
It's in medical circles now, it's called gout.
Gout, maybe that's what it's called. Is that how they translate it in Art Scroll?
Yeah, it says it's gout.
Right. Says the Gemara. The Gemara veers off just for a second. Omale Mar Zutra, braider of Nachman, or of Nachman. So Mar Zutra, the son of Rav Nachman, asked his father of Nachman, and he says to him, could you please tell me, Heichi Domi, how is this illness experienced? What happens? Omale Kemachat B'Bosar Hachai. It's like poking a needle in flesh, live flesh, very painful. Now, how does he know? How does he know that that's what it feels like? Says the Gemara, Mino Yoda. How did Rav Nachman know that that's what it feels like? By being pricked or stabbed with a needle. So Gemara gives three possible answers. Eima, Ibois, Eima, either Mechash Havachayeshbe, either he himself experienced it, he felt it. The Ibois, Eima, Mirabe, Haver Gomerle. Or it was just a Messiris that he was Makabal from his Rebbe. That's what his Rebbe taught him. Or he boys Ema Soid Hashem Li Reyov, or Brisei Lohidiyam, as Posakim Tehillim. The Soida is the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are shared with those who fear him. And therefore, how did he know it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught it to him. So he either knew it because he experienced it, he was taught it, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared it with him. Okay, back to our subject. So there's still a couple more curses. Noifel Becherev, who fell by the sword? Mi Yeshiyahu. Yeshiyahu is the terrible story that we have a whole kinnah about on Tisha B'Av. Fayekoinin Yirmiyahu is Yeshiyahu. A very lengthy story, which I'm not going to get involved with. The bottom line is he was killed brutally on the battlefield with a cherev. It says that they shot arrows at Yeshiyahu, the king of Yudah Marav, Sha'asu Kol Gufoi Kekivra. They made his body like a sieve. Just like a sieve has several holes. So too, they shot so many arrows at him, his body ended up looking like a sieve. And finally, V'chosar Lechem. Who was it who suffered the final curse of V'chosar Lechem? The answer is, says the Gemara, Miachiano, that was Yechanya, Diksiv, Va'aruchasai, Aruchas, Tomid, Nosnoloi. And who gave him food? He had to rely on food from Nebuchadnezzar. Look at the last Rashi on the Omud. Va'aruchasai, Aruchas, Tomid, Me'ez, Nebuchadnezzar, Hoy Solois, you see, it was Chasar Lechem. So all of the curses that Dor HaMelech himself cursed ended up coming back to his own house, says the Gemara. In conclusion, Omar Yudah Marav, Hainu Da Omri Inshi. This is what people say, the famous expression, Tehei Luto Veloi Tehei Lato. Literally translated, meaning better to be cursed than to curse. It's better to be at the receiving end than to be the one cursing. Why? So look at the top Rashi. Tehei luto noyach lecho. It's better for you, liyos min hamekulalim. It's better to be one of those who are cursed, rather than v'loy min hamekalalim. But don't be the curser. If you curse others, you could be in big trouble. Why? Lefi shesoif. Kilalas chinom loshuv el hamakalel. Because ultimately, if you curse other people, it might come back to you to haunt you. So if you curse others, it's going to come back to you. So there's a very, very frightening Gemara. So all of the klolos that David HaMelech himself issued onto Yoav ultimately came back to haunt him, or at least his descendant. Yes, Rabbi Larry. You're on mute.
Sorry, what I was trying to say earlier is this. If Yoav did not have children at the time yet, let's say, because I just was looking in the Tanakh to see if I could find it, I can't. Then what he maybe was saying to Shlomo was, if you kill me, then your father's curse can't be fulfilled because I don't have children for him to curse. So you can't kill me and then also curse my children. And if that's the case, then his motivation for going to Bezdin could not have been for Yerusha because he had no children. That's my point.
I don't know why you're mixing up the two sugars.
Because it's not the two sugars. It's he went to the he went to the mizbeach.
Unrelated. There's one.
No, because I'll tell Rebbe it is related. I'm going to tell you.
So that's the question: do they go to the Yorshim or do they go to the Melech? And then by the by, an unrelated issue. Maybe you have had 10,000 children. There's a question of: is he going to get the curse?
No, but if you're trying to say why did Yoav go? Did Yoav go to the mizbeach because he was concerned about his Yerusha? Isn't that the question? No. What was his motivation, right?
No, we're finished with that sugya. We're not dealing with that. That's been decided already. It's either that was his motivation, or his motivation was stalling for time. Now, the Gemara just had a question. Was there any missing words that we were not privy to? The Gemara says yes, and there was a discussion about what happened to the curse. I don't know. Maybe Yoav already got the curse. I have no idea.
But if he hit... Okay. I'm just trying to say, if he didn't have children, then it could not be a proof of Yerusha, then. That was my point.
Why can't we approve to Yerusha?
Well, if I don't have children, why would I be running to be killed by Beis Din? Where then nobody's going to get my money anyway. I don't have Yerusha.
Yes, you just answered your own question. So obviously you did have Yerusha. So obviously you did have children. Otherwise, what's the discussion in the Gemara? If the Gemara is discussing where his assets are going, are they going to the Yerushim? So obviously he had Yerushim.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Okay.
That was his motivation. I wanted to go to my Yerushim and not to the Melech. Now, in an unrelated sugya, the Gemara is dealing with what happened to the Klala. Okay, I think we've run out of time. Okay, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to finish. I hope very much, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to finish the Perek by the end of the week, Mitzvah Hashem.